Thrill to my heart, and I really enjoy all the good singing we've had here all week long with the choir and being here each night and helping us out and getting out the gospel. And each one of you that have been here, it's just been wonderful, and I have been really privileged having the joy of giving God's word this week. I sometimes feel after a series of meetings that I probably didn't give as much as I should, and I try to cut down as much as I can in any outside illustration, just giving the Word of God, and I sometimes think I should have given them a little bit more, but I try to do the best I can. So if I miss some things that I should have gotten into, you know, it was because of time, not that I didn't want to cover it. Now we want to start right off. I've skipped this verse until tonight. Notice what it says here right at the top of the chart. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. What a great verse that is. And we've been trying to give out the word of God and just simply giving it from God's word and trying to keep away from our own thoughts and our own ideas. And tonight, once again, before we start, because we're going to start off with a real strong statement maybe in a few moments here, and I want you to remember Hebrews 13 and verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Because the subjects that I'm going to get into tonight, and I hope to cover at least some of the things I want to cover tonight, might set you upset a little bit because you might not have the same thoughts on the scriptures as I have. And we've been keeping that in mind all week long, and I appreciate your patience with me and your love to me. Now tonight we're going to go right into the chart. We're not going to cover the whole thing like we have been, but we're going to start right here with the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before we do that, we want to look at that last church again, Revelation, the third chapter, and I want us to notice a verse of scripture that I was saved through. Now this verse means a lot to me, and it was this verse that I was won to the Lord Jesus Christ to himself through. It was really a course when Henry Peterson was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I was just a little boy of 12 years old. He used that little chorus, "Behold, behold, I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock." Now, I can't tell you all of his messages or much what he said, but I can tell you what he did say. He said every night to the boys and girls, "The Lord Jesus Christ is knocking at your heart's door. When are you going to let him in?" And he'd always say, "The handle's on the inside. You have to reach down and open it up and let him in." And I'd say, "Lord, how do you do that?" And I found out it was by faith. And you know, after some time going to those meetings, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that verse of Scripture is Revelation 3 and verse 20, which we find in God's Word. And it's really speaking to the church. Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone over these seven churches in Asia, and he shows to us their failure. And as we looked at them last night, we noticed a failure in each one of these churches, right down to the last one. And we found out that the last church said in that 17th verse that the Lord God said to them in the third chapter, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Now, beloved, I love to look at this verse of Scripture, and I could preach again on it tonight, but I'm not going to, because it really touches my heart as I look at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, we see it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The Lord Jesus Christ has been put out of the organized church. He's on the outside. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Beloved, he's on the outside of the church. And you know, that's why God, for the last 100 years, has raised up a lot of different programs. For instance, one of the programs that has been raised up outside of the church has been the YMCA. Now, a lot of people don't think that the YMCA is a religious organization. But, beloved, they've just been carried away. But the one who started it because he wanted to teach the boys and girls the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the only thing that's been taken over a lot by the YMCA is too much sports in it. instead of giving the time for the gospel. And you see, it was a good idea in the beginning, but then it became just teaching people how to box and so on and so forth and lasso, and they forgot the scriptures. But it was founded to reach boys to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the YWCA, girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one was started in that. But God had to raise up a man. Now, they should have been doing this in the church, but they weren't. And it's the same thing with child evangelism. The reason child evangelism was raised is that people weren't working with children, winning them to Jesus Christ, and the children were just set aside, and it just became an adult church, and they weren't winning the boys and girls, so somebody got a burden for child evangelism. The same thing when Youth for Christ started. Years ago, the church failed in winning the boys and girls, the teenagers of Christ, so a man got a burden about going out winning the teenagers, and he started Youth for Christ. The same thing with the Christian businessmen and the women's committee for the Christian women. It was started by a woman, and one was started by a man because they saw the need of reaching businessmen for the Lord because the church was failing. You see, God said, if there's any man that hears my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And that's why God raised up these organizations, because the church itself was a failure doing its work. It wasn't that the body of Christ was a failure. I want to be careful that you don't misunderstand that. And it wasn't that the Holy Spirit was failing his job, but what had happened, it's just like we saw in that third church, Pergamos, when Constantine wanted to bring in the world. The world came into the church, the world governed the church, and sinners came into the place of elders and deacons, and they took over the church, and they depressed the gospel that the gospel could not go out. And beloved, God had to raise up individuals to win men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Billy Graham that made the gospel popular. I remember when I was a boy, back in 1939, in 1940, 1941, 42, beloved, we were sneered at because we were believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our little assembly there in Minneapolis and another assembly on South Minneapolis, they thought we were nuts because of our organized church there. A lot of them didn't preach the gospel. Oh, there were other churches in the city that did, but the majority of the churches didn't even know what the plan of salvation was. And you say, I'm born again. They say, well, what in the world is that? They didn't know what it was. But then Billy Graham, God raised up Billy Graham to make the gospel plain to every individual. And everybody knows what being born again is. And we have to owe that to Billy Graham. Now, I realize that a lot of people might not agree with everything he does, but a lot of people don't agree with what I do either. And you're not hardly agreeing sometimes with yourself what you do. Sometimes I even get after myself for the things I do, and I think I could do it better. So let's not criticize the servants of the Lord. Remember, in Corinthians, the man stands before his Lord or he falls. Billy has to answer for his work, I have to answer for mine, and you have to answer for yours. It's like D.L. Moody said, when a man said to him, D.L. Moody, he says, I don't like the way you win souls to Christ. He says, well, I don't either, but how do you do it? He says, well, I don't. Moody says, I like my way better. And beloved, I like that way better. At least he was doing something for Christ. He might have been wrong in the way and the message he went about it, but at least he was winning men and women to the Lord. Let's not be critical unless we're doing more than the servants of Christ. And I want us to keep that in mind. But beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ was outside of the church door, knocking and asking, is there any man that will open up his heart that I might be able to do a work? And that's what God is working in today. He's looking for men and women that are willing to stand up and take persecution from the religious world and say, I'm going to go all out for Jesus Christ. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the church world says. I'm going to win men and women to Jesus Christ. And beloved, this is what every one of us Christians need to get that. We might divide the scriptures into little bit of pieces. We might be able to cross all the T's and dot all the I's and have everything exactly right. But beloved, if we're not winning men and women to the Lord, we're not accomplishing a thing. We need to get back to the book. And too many people are worrying about the dots and the little commas instead of working on a book and winning men and women to Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. God wants us to let him work through us. God says he's standing outside the church door, and it's just before Jesus Christ comes. And beloved, I think all over the world, as I mentioned last night, all over the world, as I even travel in this country and out of this country, I find one thing, like I mentioned last night, not many tears anymore. Not many tears. Not many people walking the aisle and saying, oh God, I'm a sinner. We used to see when we'd be preaching, before we finished preaching, person would jump up and just cry and come forward and say, I want to be saved. They'd stop you before you got to the end of your message. Tonight we don't have that. And it's the reason is the Christians aren't weeping for men and women that are going to hell. We need to have awakening of my soul and your soul that we might really be concerned. And I've been very concerned all this week. And several times as I was there studying during the week, I had even checked the tears and maybe I should have let them flow. But I was thinking maybe God, there would be somebody tonight that would turn their life over to Jesus Christ. And beloved, I try to preach as hard and as fast as I can to get in as much as I can because I realize I'm living in a world that's so time conscious. And I wish that as I preach, and I'm going to try to get out on time tonight, but I wish that I could tear every clock out of every church and throw it away and let the Holy Spirit do like He did back in the early days. And we'd see some blessing. Now, beloved, as I've said that, let us look here at the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ is this. Let us look here at the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. It comes in two phases. The first part of its coming, the world does not see His coming. He meets the saints in the air. The second part, the world sees Him as He comes, as He takes over His reign on earth. Now, I'm going to make a distinction. First of all, let's look at 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and see what God has to say in His precious Word. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, a portion of God's Word, which is so precious to all of our hearts. And let us notice what we see here in the 13th verse. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and the 13th verse, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Beloved, there's a lot of people that are lost tonight, and if we'd bury them tomorrow, there'd be no hope for them. You can only be saved when you're in the body. You can't be saved when you're 6 feet under. Nobody's going to pray out of purgatory or out of hell. Beloved, you make your decision now for Jesus Christ. Or heaven or hell. You're going to make it tonight. Because we're going to bring you to a decision tonight. Right where you sit, you've been making a decision every night. You that are lost and have been going out those doors, you've been saying no to Jesus Christ. He's been standing here, not me, but He's been standing and saying, come, come, and I'll give you rest. But you said, no, not tonight. Not tonight. No, beloved, I hope you really look at these verses tonight. Notice in the 14th verse, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What comforting words it is to the believer, but what sad words it is to those that aren't saved. Beloved, the first funeral I ever preached, I preached a man that was lost. His wife said to me, don't preach him in hell. And the boy who was, well, his son was saved, he said, preach the gospel. And I was really on the spot. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but at the funeral, at the graveside that day, I lifted up the eyes of the audience to the grave. And I said, one of these days, those that are saved, their graves are going to be open, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take them to heaven. I said, those that aren't saved are going to be left behind. And I'll never forget the sight of that boy that was a Christian. He knew his dad was lost and gone to hell because he died in his truck, swearing at his sons, cursing his sons with God's name, and God took him with a curse word of God on his lips. Beloved, what a terrible thing it was. The whole community knew about it. It shook that community of Indiana. And I'll never forget it. That boy went over to that casket that afternoon as we stood there after I shook your head. He went over to it. He threw his hands up in the air. And he screamed out, he says, I'll never, never see my daddy again. And he threw himself over the casket and wept as the family tried to get him away. Beloved, he knew his dad was in hell. I wonder how many of you children have ever prayed for your dad that he wouldn't be in hell. Beloved, we need to stand up for Jesus Christ, following as others that have no hope. That boy had no hope to see his father in the heavens because he died with a curse on his lips. Now, beloved, this is speaking about the church. When Jesus Christ comes for the church, he's going to rapture it up. Now, I'm going to say something according to Matthew 24. We're going to look at it for a moment. But the same thing that happens in Matthew 24 will happen when the church comes. But it has no connection with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride. But the same thing will take place. And so many times you've heard ministers mention Matthew 24, two shall be together grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Beloved, that will happen, but it's not according to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 does not come into this portion right here. 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter, and verse 13-18, is when he comes for the church. Now, what is the difference? Well, beloved, the ones that are taken at the church time are raptured into the heaven. They don't go through the great tribulation period. You see, they're saved. As we looked at Enoch back here with Noah saved before the flood, Enoch was taken. He was taken as the church is going to be taken before the hour of tribulation period. Now, I realize that some people think that they're going to go through half the tribulation, and some think they're going to go through it all. And if you want to believe that, fine, but let me go up, will you please? You want to go through that hour? I don't. I don't want to be here. I want to be with my blessed Savior. I want to be with him when he says, like in the 6th chapter of Revelation, come and see, come and see. He shows them the things that are going to happen down here on earth, and we'll look at them some tonight. Now, beloved, as he takes the church up, the world is not aware, as they were not aware when Enoch went. But they searched for Enoch. They looked for him, but they could not find him. The same thing with Elijah. We didn't get a chance to talk on him. God took him, and they looked for him, but they could not find him. He was taken by God. The church is going to be gone, and he might come tonight. And beloved, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes tonight, this preacher's not going to be here. We're going to go up to meet the Lord in the air, and I might just stop in the middle of my sentence, and you might look around and say, where did they all go? It's just a few of us left. Beloved, every Christian here would go. There'd be some boys and some girls that would be left behind. There'd be some men and women that would be left behind. The saints would go up. Those that had trusted Jesus Christ would be raptured. You wouldn't see us go. We're not going to go up like this. We're going to go up faster than any spaceship went up. You can see them go up, but you're not going to see us. Because it said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Beloved, we're going up because he has prepared us for a prepared place. That's why Jesus Christ left this earth and went back to the heaven, to prepare a place for us, for heaven was not prepared for man and woman, and God had to make a place for them. Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us. And beloved, as he comes for his church, he's going to meet him halfway, and then he's going to return, and we're going to go up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the first thing that we see is the judgment seat of Christ. For the Word of God says his reward is with him. Beloved, then is when we are going to be judged for the things that we have done in the body, whether it's been good or bad. I don't know where so many people get the idea we're not judged on works. Beloved, don't you make that mistake. Tell some sinner he's not judged on his works. We're always judged on works. The Christian is judged not for the works of salvation, but for the works for reward. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. He says he's going to judge us according to the works, whether it's been good or bad. You're going to be judged for everything you've done, saint. Not for salvation now, but for reward. Because Jesus Christ wants to give you a reward that you'll be able to take that reward and give it to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we find in the 4th chapter of the book of Revelation. Beloved, that's why Jesus Christ wants to give you a reward so you have something to give to him. Have you got something to give to the Savior? Have you done something for him? I believe that us preachers are going to have less reward in heaven than anybody else. You know why? Because we get our credit down here. Everybody says, oh, Jim led that one to the Lord. Welcome led that one to the Lord. Rod led that one to the Lord. How do we know we led him to the Lord? Might have been some sister praying for that person for 20 years. And they're going to get the credit. When we get to heaven, we've got all the credit. God's going to say, it's not much left for you. That's why I like to do a few things secret that nobody knows about. So I'll get something. Because everybody's stealing my reward. Quit stealing them. I want to get a little bit up there. But anyway, Father, we're going to get reward from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be judged according to our works. But the sinner, he's going to be judged, as we see tomorrow morning after we get through the millennium reign of Christ. The sinner is going to be judged according to his works. Once again, don't you ever dare to tell a sinner he's not going to be judged according to his works. He is. He's going to be judged according to his work. Why? Because he rejected the works of Christ. Us Christians have accepted his work for salvation to be saved. But a sinner that rejects him says, I'm good enough and I'll work my way to heaven. God says, fine, I'll judge you according to your work. You're either judged according to your works or you're judged according to the works of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be judged for my work for salvation because I have trusted the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me from all sin. And I'm trusting in his work, his finished work. Praise God. He did everything necessary for me to be saved. Now, beloved, let us turn and look at this part of the scriptures in Matthew 24. But maybe before we get into that, let's just stop before we go to Matthew 24 way over here and compare that. Let's go to another verse of scripture that I heard a preacher on television the other night, and I'm not going to mention any names, but he was on air and he said he's changed his mind about this portion in 2 Thessalonians. I was very sorry to hear him say that. And he's the first preacher that I've ever heard at least read the verse. I have to give him that much credit. And he gave such a watered-down explanation. He said, I used to believe it, that nobody could be saved through the tribulation, but now since I'm older, I guess I understand the scriptures a little bit more or something like that, he said. And he said, I'm a little wiser, I guess, and I don't go along with that anymore. I'm sorry to hear that. Because, beloved, I haven't had one Bible teacher who even believed that this didn't refer to the church. And after the church and those that went going into the tribulation period, they said, well, that isn't what it means. I said, well, what does it mean? Who are those people that are deceived? And when are they deceived? Well, I don't know, but that's not when it is. Beloved, if it isn't during the tribulation period, when is it? Now, notice what the scripture says in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter of 2 Thessalonians. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ has to remove the Spirit of God that came down here on the day of Pentecost, which is possessing the church tonight, that possesses you, that possesses me. He has to take the Holy Spirit of God out of the way that the devil might be able to do his wonders. You see, there's something hindering Satan from going out all in sin. You think it's bad right now. Beloved, the worst time on earth is going to be during the tribulation period when Satan does not have the church to contend with and the Holy Spirit of God who is in devil himself, but all of his henchmen doing his work, because the devil is in the heavens accusing the brethren daily. He's not omnipresent. He's in the presence of God accusing the brethren daily for their shortcomings. And he has all of his henchmen down here accusing and trying to make us mess up. But now, beloved, the Holy Spirit must be taken out of the way. When the Holy Spirit of God is taken out of the way, and if he takes the Holy Spirit of God out of the way, how in the world can the church go on? Then Jesus Christ would be a liar. Listen, if you believe that the church is going through the tribulation and the Holy Spirit is gone, you have to have a church without a spirit. And then Jesus Christ becomes a liar. Because Jesus Christ says, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And he's not going to leave the church comfortless. Why do we believe that Jesus Christ would leave the church comfortless when he promised to send the Comforter to comfort us during this time and to guide us in all the truths of the Scripture? As I've said night after night, you cannot understand this Bible, this book, until you get the Holy Spirit of God, until you're born again. I don't care how many doctor's degree you are or how smart you are. You can't understand this book until you get the Holy Spirit of God, because he's the teacher of the church. Now notice, beloved, what it says in the 8th verse of the 2nd chapter of 2 Thessalonians, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Praise God! He's going to destroy this wicked one. Now, if that isn't the tribulation period and what it's talking about, I don't know. But I haven't had a lot of Bible teachers that don't believe what I'm going to present tonight. I haven't had one of them tell me when this time is. I wish they would. And the fellow that said it on television the other night, he didn't say it either. If I had that message, I think I would have erased it and done it over, because he sure was soft-peddling something. I don't know where he got his thoughts from. Notice here, somebody must have written his message that didn't know the word. But anyway, notice the 9th verse. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Why aren't they saved? Because they don't love the truth. And beloved, we have a lot of people sitting in the churches tonight that don't love the truth. They want you to soft pedal it. Don't get so strong and said. We might have a few givers that give a little money. Well, let them keep their money. If the Lord can't support the church, let's go out of business. It's His church. And if He can't support it, let's quit. Beloved, let's remember Jesus Christ is the one that started the church, and He's going to finish it. Notice they didn't love the truth. Notice the next verse. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. The moment the church is taken, God sends a strong delusion on every individual that's heard the word. Now you might believe it and you might not, but I'm going to believe the book until somebody can prove me different. Beloved, the book says He's going to send them strong delusions. Who are they? All those that have heard. You people who have heard the gospel this week. And by hearing, I mean the Spirit of God has spoken to you and has really touched your heart, and you've gone out of that door wanting to be saved, but you listen to the devil instead of listening to the Spirit of God. You're going to be the ones that are going to be deceived. Now, it's not just listening, because a lot of people probably have been here night after night and haven't paid a word of attention when I've said. Maybe they've been cleaning their fingernails all night. Maybe they've been dreaming about how they'll sell another policy or something else, or whatever business it is, or something, a machine they want to sell. And they're trying to figure out how to get that guy to buy. Beloved, they might not have been saying, now that person hasn't heard. But those that have been hearing with the Spirit of God speaking to them, those people are going to be given strong delusions because they didn't love the truth. The truth was given, and so God says, I'll send them strong delusions. Now they believe a lie. They will be the first ones to take the mark in their hand and in their forehead and say to the beast, yeah, we'll receive that money. They'll be deceived first. They'll be the leaders of the church when we're gone. For you notice the church, the true church, is the blue line goes up, but the black line goes on. This church will go on. There'll be enough sinners left here that have been in fellowship that will take this thing right on, just like it meant nothing. They said, we got rid of all those troublemakers. Now we can run it the way we want. And beloved, that's the way it's going to be in every church. But it's going to be the false church, the church of Satan. Now beloved, when He takes the Spirit of God out, also not only does He send strong delusions to that have heard the word, but He also lets Satan do all of his miserable sin. We think it's bad tonight. I made a statement in Jacksonville, Florida some time ago when I started a message on the second coming of Christ. I said every woman should be saved because I said during the tribulation period it's not going to be safe for any woman because practically every woman are going to be raped. If you're a woman here, you better get saved. It's going to be terrible because a beast of man is going to take over. You women are going to be put in the back seat then. It's going to be the man's world and you're going to be nothing. But dirt under his feet, for Satan's going to energize a man to take over this world and do what he will with you. And beloved, that morning, when I gave that message, a young girl came back and two got saved that morning. A young girl said to me, I'm glad that you gave that message this morning. I said, well, I was kind of surprised the way I started out. She said, because you started out that way. She said, last Friday, just 2 days before that Sunday, she said, my mother was in Jacksonville, Florida, raped. And she says, I don't want to go through that. I know what it's like. And beloved, she surrendered her life to Christ. But now let's look. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is up. We're at the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Down here, when Jesus Christ comes back, let's turn to Matthew 24 quickly, that will explain this part now to you and show you the difference. Matthew 24, and if I don't get anything else tonight, I want to accomplish this. This is our portion that talks about as it was in the days of Noah. This is talking about when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to the earth to reign, to set up His kingdom. Now notice the difference. For time's sake, we won't read it all. It talks about two laying in bed together and two at the mill and so on. But let's drop down for time's sake, down to the 47th verse, or the 46th. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with drunkards, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Beloved, don't you ever say this is the church.
For goodness sakes, if you say that and some sinner can read his Bible, he'll come up to you afterwards and say, hey, preacher, the one's taken there. I don't want to be taken in that chapter. Oh, why not? Well, you're cut asunder and you're put with the hypocrites. Hey, preachers, let's read all the scriptures. Listen, the one taken there is cut asunder, is pointed into hell itself, in where the hypocrites are. Why? Why doesn't God take the good? He can't, because he's talking to Israel. He's not talking to the church age. For goodness sakes, let's get it straight. He's not talking to the church. He's talking to Israel, who are the earthly people. If you take the Israelites up to heaven, where in the world will you do with the sinners? No, he has promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of his people. He says, you're going to inherit a new earth. And he stopped the 69th week here. He stopped the 69th week, and there's no week here when he saves Jew and Gentile alike. And then he goes on and he starts to deal with the Jewish nation again, and the Jewish nation goes right on. The reason he takes the wicked out and destroys them is because he has to make a cure for his millennium reign of Christ. And when he starts his reign on earth, there's not going to be one sinner on earth. Not one sinner. Beloved, the earth is going to be pure. And as he started out with Adam and Eve, pure man failed. Man failed here, failed here, failed here, failed here, failed here. And he's going to fail in the millennium. And we'll see that tomorrow morning. And as the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he comes down to destroy those evil servants, those that said, my Lord delayeth his coming. And he started to not go to church, not go and worship the Lord. They say, well, it's nothing to it. That's exactly what's happening in England. I had a man come back from England not long ago, and he said, the churches are empty over there. Now, I don't know about our assemblies. He was in the church. Another man came to our assembly in Sanford, and he went over to France to be a missionary. He said, the churches are empty. And beloved United States, the churches are empty in many cases. It's because we're not giving them something. We're not giving them the Word of God. And what they need is something from the Scriptures. God said these individuals here, as he comes, he's going to destroy all of the wicked ones. Now, we haven't got time right there to go into it, because I want to turn quickly into the book of Revelation and look at some of the things that's going to happen in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. I wish I had more time to give you more out of this book, but let's just touch a few things. In the fourth chapter, we see after the third chapter and the fourth chapter, John is called up, and God shows him what he's going to have. We see that in the ninth verse, down to verse 11, we cast our crown at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, thou art worthy. In the fifth chapter, we notice that that book is opened up. The Lamb, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal. In the sixth chapter, we see that the seals are broken. And beloved, when we see those seals are broken, he says in the Scriptures, come and see, come and see, come and see. We're up there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I heard one Bible teacher say, he said, I don't think the Lord's going to show us a thing that's down here on earth. I believe he is, because he says here to John, and John represents the church, he says, come and see. Come and see. He said, well, I don't think the Lord would be that evil. Well, I said, well, what do you do with the Scripture? He's talking to John, and you say in your ministry that he represents the church. Now, when you change, what's John seeing? I said, he sees that the first and second verse, that the Antichrist comes on the scene. And, beloved, the first thing that happens after the church is taken, the Antichrist comes in. And you know our president says he's saved. He says he's born again. And, beloved, if that's true, I don't know. I've got to accept his testimony just like you have to accept mine. If he's saved, the White House would be empty if the Lord would come tonight. And the world would be ready for that leader. That's what they're working for tonight, is one man, as Mr. MacArthur said some time ago. He said what the world needs is one man to rule it. And then we can live in peace with each other. Well, beloved, the Antichrist is going to come with a bow, but no arrows. He's not going to come to win this fight with fighting. He's going to win it by taking it over by his magnetic work that he does, even in the power of Satan. But aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you from what an hour that we are going to go in? You know, this is a great thing when we see what God is doing. As we look through the Word of God, we notice that in here, the seals are opened up. As the seventh seal book is opened up, the trumpets and the woes that are brought down upon the earth, and I wish we had time, but my time is already gone. We notice that these things are broken, something happens down here on earth. And beloved, during this time, the earth is going to receive the mark of the beast in their hand or in their forehead. That's what they're going to do to buy or sell. You're not going to be able to buy a piece of land or a piece of property. Now, when I was a boy and they brought this out in Scripture, I said, Dad, I wish they wouldn't say that because it sounds nobody's going to walk along with a number on their forehead or their hand. He said, Son, the Word of God says so. And we weren't as intelligent as the people are today. But you ask any one of our boys or girls that are in school, can this happen today? They'd say, absolutely. How? Oh, Mr. Redling, they'd say, all they have to do is take the laser beam. Beloved, all they have to do is take that laser beam and put a mark on your hand, and you won't even see it. But when you come up to that machine, like this microphone, you come up to it, it shows your number, and all of your groceries will be recorded right at the store. You know why they're going to it? Because they say it's not safe to carry credit cards. It's not safe to carry a few dollars. And most of us don't carry anything because we're afraid of getting hit in the head, and you might as well put your credit cards up because somebody could steal those too. And it's not safe. And he said, this is why we have to go to the system. You see, God has brought it out all by the devil man of Satan, and he's beaten Satan in his own work. And beloved, every one of us have a number already. We're all social security number. In France already, every baby that is born, they tattoo on the foot their social security number. Beloved, it's already here. The Antichrist could take over in a moment of time. The computers would help him. Notice also, if we had time to turn to it, you see those two servants of the Lord laying there in the street. As they had ministered and brought punishment to the people on earth that received not the Lord Jesus Christ, and then God allowed Satan have his demons come over and take these two servants. And the world was so glad, and they killed the two servants of God. And they said, don't let their bodies be buried, but make them lay in the street for 3 days. And as those bodies were laying there, they started to have a Christmas party. They gave gifts one another to each other. They had a Christmas because Christ is gone, and they haven't had any Christmas now because he's gone. And so they start a Christmas during the tribulation because they've taken two of God's servants and killed them and destroyed them. And beloved, as they destroyed those two servants of God, they made merry, and they thought they were having a good time. And they said, don't let their bodies be buried, and the Scripture says the whole world's going to see it. And I said to my dad when I was a kid, I said, Dad, how's that going to happen? He said, I don't know, son, but it will. Listen, those old fellows believed the book. What's the matter with us with all the intelligence we have? Why don't we believe the book? They couldn't see it. Dad said, son, the Word of God says, I don't know how God's going to let the whole world see it. I said, well, the people way down in Australia, way under, and us here, and then those people over in Russia and Germany, how are they all going to see it at the same time? You ask any boy or girl today, can they tell you? Absolutely. How are they going to do it? By the television. God has allowed man to put spaceships up there that we can radiate the picture from Europe right down here to the United States, and everybody in the world are going to watch the Super Bowl tomorrow. But they're also going to watch the bodies of those three, and those bodies are going to be laid there, and God is going to raise them up, and the world's going to quake. Then God is going to bring his judgment. Beloved, I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I'm going to heaven. And if you're lost and going to hell, beloved, you have a terrible day ahead of you. Oh, I'm sorry for any sinner that goes into the tribulation period. And I'm so sorry tonight that I spoke so slowly that I didn't get everything in I wanted to get in, but the time's gone. And I want to say this, beloved, if you're without Christ here tonight, you can be saved. Because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to keep you from the hour of darkness. One of the things in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, they ask for the power of darkness. God sends the power of darkness about them. Why? Because he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness, but they rejected him, taking their darkness. So God gives them the darkness here. And it was so terrible, the pain, that the Scripture says they gnawed their tongues for pain because of darkness being so excruciating to them that they actually gnawed their tongues. They were so in pain. And beloved, can you imagine the pain of darkness? And it goes on in that 16th chapter about in the next few verses. It talks about the sword. Some Bible students have pointed out that when it speaks about the sores there, it's speaking about, like I spoke on last Sunday night, herpes and other venereal diseases. That's what they're going to suffer. But other, we're on our way. Herpes is here. It's touching home after home. But beloved, it might not be that one disease. God has many that He's going to bring down on the people. He's going to turn the water to blood when they pick up the water to get a glass of water. It's going to be blood. Why? Because they rejected the blood of Christ. He says, all right, you wanted the blood of Christ. And beloved, remember I said last night, and with this I close, He said, they say His blood be on us and on our children. The blood of Christ is on us tonight. But where they should have said, His blood is for us and for our children. Praise God. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus Christ is for you to cleanse you from sin? But beloved, as I mentioned last night, they have never seen a resurrected Lord. They have never seen a resurrected Lord. The world hasn't. Only the believers who have trusted Christ have seen the power of the resurrection. The next time they see Jesus Christ will be when He comes here in Revelation, the 19th chapter, when He comes with His garment dipped in blood. And don't make the mistake and say that's the blood of the wine press when He gathers it from the children. He comes with the blood on His garment. Then He tramples the wine press. I know what Zechariah says, and I know what Revelation says. But beloved, when He comes with blood, and the reason He comes with blood is because the world said, let His blood be on us. And He's coming to rule and reign over this world in His power of the blood. Praise God. It's the power in the blood. And if you're not trusting the blood, you're lost in going to the lake of fire. Because you're either trusting the blood or you're not. Let me ask you tonight, dear sinner friend. Have you ever come to the place to see when Jesus Christ died for you on the cross? He died to cleanse you by His precious blood. He loves you. And He gave Himself for you. And tonight you can be saved right where you sit. If you would just say, Lord Jesus, You love me so much You went through darkness. You went through torture. You went through all the wrath of God that I wouldn't fall into the lake of fire. You took all of my sins that I might be righteous. And tonight, Jesus, I accept You. Oh, beloved, if you haven't accepted Him, why don't you look at that cross one more time and see a man that was hanging there 1900 years ago for you and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Tonight you can be saved if you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Will you do it? Will you do it right now? Shall we pray? Maybe there is one that's lost here. You'd like to be saved. Oh, why don't you trust Him? You might say, you get excited, preacher. Listen, I'm praying for your soul. I preached hard not because I liked it. My chest has been so sore this week that if somebody hit me, I think I would.